And I'll make the statement now. We had one of the representatives' wife passed away. The funeral was going to be Thursday morning. They held floor off until 1:30, and we felt it wouldn't be enough time. Upon the speaker speaking to me and asking that I merely delay the committee hearing by an hour and continue on, and I respect his wishes, so it will be up on Thursday. And it's just been a little confusion here because we weren't certain that as to how long the floor would go on, and I understand we don't have that many bills to look at on Thursday.
May I ask the committee's indulgence and ask that my staff, Eric Dicanio, present that information that requested by Representative Otto. I have budget hearing and public hearing on the state building code.
That's fine. We'll start, the committee meeting will start at 2:30 instead of 1:30 on Thursday.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Otto.
I will not be here on Thursday. However, that doesn't prevent you from taking action on it.
Well, we can take the testimony and it will be on tape. So,
Mr. Chairman. May I make a suggestion?
Representative Campbell.
Since Representative Otto has raised the question, I don't think we ought to move the bill until he's here, so therefore it would seem appropriate for the testimony to be given when he returns, which would be the following week. And maybe that would not be an inconvenience for you, but it would make me feel better that he hears what the testimony is.
Good point. The one thing of it is we may end up canceling then. After all, it's all according to what happens on this next bill, and this is why it's very hard to do with all that's come up to get a clear signal as to what comes up Thursday, but we can play it that way. It's just
we'll leave that up to the chair, but I do think that it's inappropriate for Representative Otto to have to listen to it on the tape when we're not going to take action on it anyway until he gets back.
Good point. Okay, we'll you'll get some notice as to when.
We'll have it prepared for you.
Okay, we close the hearing on 2186. I'm going to bring back House Bill 2093 because we do have someone to answer Representative Campbell's concerns, and Mike Stinson of Legislative Fiscal.
My fiscal report says Dan Simmons.
Mr. Chairman, shall I repeat my question?
Mm-hmm. Representative Campbell, you ought to let the gentleman identify himself first.
Mike Stinson, Legislative Fiscal Office.
Mike, House Bill 2093, when we originally passed to the floor and we since have returned it to committee for some additional amendments, we were not privy to the fiscal analysis. It looks like there's a hellacious increase in expenditures from the 83-85 biennium to the 85-87 biennium. In fact, the increase is from $184,181 to $368,363. I wonder if you could share with us why personal services are doubling, why services and supplies are doubling, and why capital outlay is doubling.
Mr. Chairman, everything is exactly doubling, and that's precisely the point. Under the Section 21, Chapter 842, Oregon Laws, 1977, the State Board of Tax Service Examiners would be sunsetted effective June 30th, 1984. So notwithstanding a repealer of the sunset,
1 year.
The board is going to live for a year anyhow, so the first is 1 year, the second binding is 2.
Thank you very much. Answers my question, Mr. Chairman.
Hold on, somebody else might have a question for you. Is there any further questions, Mike?
What's the explanation?
I'm informed that we do not have subsequent referral ways and means on this bill, which I can't understand.
It might be a separate appropriations bill.
I would think it would be.
This isn't the appropriation bill.
No.
Yes.
Well, this is the fee bill.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Then they'll look at the appropriation.
They're watching our action.
I believe the appropriation measure has already been brought to full and is awaiting action on this bill before
it
proceeds. Correct.
Assuming that.
Yep.
All right. Is there any further need to discuss this bill by any member of this committee?
No. In fact, if you have work session, I have a motion.
It says a work session on this bill.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that House Bill 2093, as amended,
be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Campbell moves that we send House Bill 2093 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there, are there any further discussion on this bill? If not, Assistant Colwell, please.
Representative Gilmore?
Aye.
Otto?
Aye.
Boone?
Aye.
DeBrack?
Aye.
Campbell?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye. Okay, you were signing with the bill, Representative Gilmore. Can we still put it on consent calendar with the fiscal? I don't think we should.
I would suggest that we not.
Yeah, okay. Okay, excuse me, House Bill 2093 is passed to the floor with a due pass. Representative Gilmore, as amended, Representative Gilmore will carry the bill on the floor. Okay, the one that everybody's been waiting for. We will now see House Bill 2089 relating to regulation of boilers and pressure vessels. The first individual I would like is Ken Everham. And if you'll come, Ken.
Yeah.
I do want to, while Ken's come up here, I do want to say I've been getting a lot of input before the committee, and there seems to be some problem with this bill, and I've already made determination that we find that there is a great disparaging between the various sides on this bill, and I'm all prepared to appoint a subcommittee and have this hashed out in subcommittee and a report brought back to the committee. So I just want to let everybody know that the chances of subcommittee are pretty real because of what I get a feeling of a problem with the various actors within this problem. Ken, would you identify yourself, please?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Ken Everham from Legislative Research. I've been asked to come here today to review our sunset review that we prepared for the Joint Interim Committee on Sunset Review during last interim. I'm not prepared to address the bill per se. I believe there's some other individuals here who could answer specific questions relating to the bill, or perhaps someone from the Sunset Committee. Representative Otto, I believe, was a member of that, so he might be able to answer your questions regarding the bill. Briefly, I think you all have a copy of our sunset review before you. I'd like to first just summarize that report. It was quite lengthy, some 60 or 70 pages, just to give you some background of the issues that are contained in House Bill 2089.
I can't wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. We don't have it. Don't have it. What are you speaking of?
Okay. You said you thought we had something in our...
I thought your committee administrator requested copies from our office.
No.
No.
No, we don't have it.
And we don't have it. And membership does not have it.
Well, it would not take very long to get them from our office. We can bring them down quite... And
while you're still getting them for you?
Take a short break and get them for you. Would you like that to do?
I would like that because if you preface your remarks on it, I would like the members of the committee to have it. So we recess for 5 minutes until you get them. Okay.
That's fine. What's the problem with this bill?
Committee will come to order. Well, this is, I did have this. No, this is something else. Excuse me. This is something else. Okay. Okay, Ken, do you want to, we just didn't have this, and I would appreciate if you just start from scratch.
Sure.
And we have a member that wasn't here when you began, and I'd appreciate your indulgence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry for the mix-up on copies. Again, I'm Ken Everham from Legislative Research, and I've been asked to come today to give you some background information that will be useful in considering House Bill 2089. Specifically, I'll be writing or summarizing our staff sunset review, which you now have a copy of the Board of Boiler Rules, and some of the issues that were brought up in that staff sunset review to enable you to make your decision concerning House Bill 2089. I might start by just prefacing a little bit about the Board of Boiler Rules as far as the sunset review of this particular board. Many of the other boards subject to sunset review only regulate specific occupations. This board is a little bit different in that it also, subject, as far as the statutes that were subject to sunset, also include the safety code for the boiler construction and inspection process. This is dissimilar from other occupational building trade boards that have been considered by the assembly in the past, such as the electricians and the plumbers. In those sunset reviews, only the regulated practitioners were considered as far under sunset. The safety codes concerning the electrical safety code and the plumbing safety code were not subject to sunset review. They would have continued in operation even if the statutes regulating the occupations of the electricians and plumbers had been terminated. However, in the boiler sunset review, the statutes that set up the construction code and the inspection process, in other words, the safety boiler safety code, is subject to sunset review. So should there be no action with regard to ORS 48510 through 48635, not only would the regulation of boilermakers and steam fitters terminate, but also the boiler safety code. And again, I point out that this is dissimilar from earlier sunset reviews regarding other building trades.
Ken, one more. Representative Schoon.
Can you tell us any why that was included? Was it just an accident, or was it deliberate?
I believe it was probably an accident. I was not around in 1977 when the sunset law was adopted, but I believe then it was the intent that occupational regulation was going to be the main focus of sunset review, all with a few exceptions. I don't believe this is one of the exceptions that was included. The exceptions that usually come to mind are the OLCC, the ECC, commission such as that. I think this was probably an oversight at that time. It was probably an easy one to make. There are two specific statutes that do regulate the occupations of boilermaker and steam fitter. They are included within this broad range of statutes, but I don't think it was the intent that the safety code be subject to sunset as well as the occupations. But I could be wrong. Okay, let me just...
Sure. Mm-hmm. Representative Campbell.
Glenn, when they reviewed this during the interim, was that a question that was raised?
No.
What I was wondering about is if when we look at this bill, we shouldn't look at it, we're going to sunset it for another, set it up for sunset for another 8 years if we pass, take action. But at the same time, we in this bill could proceed to take that portion of it out of the sunset. That's not done with this bill the way it's written.
No, it's not.
Mr. Chairman, if I may respond further.
Representative Otto.
When this sunset review legislation was passed in 1977, it was hurried through the assembly. It had a whole bunch of ORSs that were going to be repealed, and this does that. And very little study had been given to it. It was such a wonderful idea at the time that the assembly went ahead and passed it without knowing what they were doing. Now you're paying for it.
I think that was Representative Zotto's plug for a bill he's got. Go ahead, Ken.
Briefly, the report that you have now before you is six major sections. The first one is background. The second includes some information concerning the inspection procedures, which again, we've been talking about, is somewhat different than the other occupations you've considered under sunset before. The third section is licensing standards. This is where we talk about the occupation regulation of boilermakers and steam fitters. Fourth, we talk a little bit about the role of the Boiler Rules Board, which oversees both the inspection procedures and as far as the construction and repair and installation of boilers, as well as the licensing features. We have a little bit on enforcement of the board's enforcement activity regarding inspections and against licensees. And finally, we conclude our report with some of the possible alternatives for your consideration, some of which are contained in House Bill 29, some of which aren't. For example, one of which, at the very last page, I think, of the report, we suggested that you could amend the sunset law to take out the provisions that require a sunset review of the boiler safety code. Briefly, as far as a little bit of background, boilers and steam and unfired pressure vessels are quite essential in our industrial development in our state. A steam boiler is basically a heavily constructed closed vessel which converts water into steam by the outside application of heat. And we all know what a boiler does. It's quite essential in using for heating and power in factories, canneries, providing heating for apartment houses, these sorts of things. The other types of vessels subject to this law, the unfired pressure vessels, which are a little harder to get a handle on. These pressurize air, oil, and water, some other chemicals, things of this nature, and are also used in industry, but are not regarded with or fired by heat. They may be such things as air tanks that you find in gas stations. Also, they include digesters, retorts, heat exchangers, and others. Just to give an idea of the number of vessels that are subject to the law in this state, in 1981, in November, when we did this report, there were 9,000 and some steam boilers of various types. We have basically two types, a high pressure and a low pressure, depending on the amount of pounds per pressure per square inch and the heat that's involved. And there were 33,000 some pressure vessels that were subject to the law. As we all know, some of these vessels can be extremely dangerous because they are under extreme pressures. If there are any, any deterioration in the outside or inside of these vessels, they can explode with great force. And because of that, in the early 1900s, there was a movement to start regulating the construction of these vessels. Prior to that time, these explosions were considered the price that we had to pay as far as our industrialization, and were considered basically an act of God. But one particular explosion, which killed over 58 people and injured over 100, was primarily responsible for the first legislation that regulated boilers and pressure vessels in 1907. That was in Massachusetts. Afterwards, other states began to adopt laws regulating the construction of these vessels, but there was some very little uniformity in these laws, so to attain uniformity, the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, known as ASME, developed the ASME Code, which governs the construction and operation of these vessels. That was in 1911, and soon every state within a period of 10 to 20 years had adopted that code. As far as the inspection of these vessels, there was little enforcement as to any uniform enforcement, so the National Board of Boiler and Pressure Vessel Inspectors was formed in the 20s to provide an uniform inspection code. As far as our regulation here in the state adopted the ASME code in 1921. Inspections were conducted by our labor commissioner under administrative rules into the 30s when we adopted some statutes to require the inspection of boiler and pressure vessels. In 1961, our law was revamped entirely to conform to a model code that was proposed by ASME, and at that time the board was created to advise the labor commissioner on rules regulating the control of these vessels. In 1969, the board was given the authority to formulate rules, making it a policy-making board. In 1971, it was transferred to the Department of Commerce. First, let me get into the inspection process. Again, this is a different procedure from the occupational regulation. Here, the inspections are administered, or this portion of the law is administered by the Boiler and Pressure Vessel section of the Building Codes Division. And he has a very limited staff. At the time of our report, he had 15 positions authorized, but only eight were filled. Some of these were, at least nine of the 15 were inspectors, but he only had four operating at that time. There are two types of inspectors that do these inspections of vessels throughout the state. One is the state inspectors employed by the Building Codes Division, and the other are special inspectors that are employed by insurance companies. Businesses have an option of insuring their vessels through independent insurance companies. If they choose that option, the insurance companies that are providing that coverage would perform their own inspections and submit reports to the Boiler and Pressure Vessel section. Firms that do not choose to insure their vessels would have inspections by state inspectors. Quite briefly, as far as the number of vessels subject to inspection, all boilers and pressure vessels in the state are inspected on a 1, 2, or 5-year cycle, depending on their type and what they're used for. On page 23 of our report, we have a chart that shows the different types of vessels that are subject to sunset review and their frequency. Our law has been criticized by many as for requiring too many vessels to be inspected. It states that any vessel larger than 1.5 cubic feet must be inspected according to the schedule of frequency set up. The ASME boiler code, on the other hand, which has been the uniform code used throughout the land by most states and our neighboring states, Washington, for example, states only that vessels larger than 5 cubic feet must be inspected. So we inspect quite a few more vessels many of which are the pressurized air tanks and garages and service stations. So it's been criticized as being very restrictive. And some critics have pointed out if they went to a 5 cubic feet minimum, that there would be no increase in the danger to the public health, safety, and welfare. As far as the number of inspections performed annually, some 42,000 inspections are required by law. About 16,000 of those are done by the state, so that gives you an example of, gives you some feel on the extent of use by the insurance companies. We have a chart on page 27 that just summarizes some of the figures regarding the inspections that have been made by the state and the insurance companies since 1972. In addition to inspections, every vessel must have a permit that is supplied by the from the boiler and pressure vessel section. However, it must not be confused that these permits indicate any sort of inspection has taken place. The permits are only used as a revenue-generating measure. It used to be that permits were only issued after inspection so that they were indicated that there was a safety and the vessel receiving the permit was safe. That law was changed in 1961. Now permits are issued on a pretty much a regular basis. They try to get them about issuing the permits at the time the vessel is due for inspection, but that doesn't always happen. Sometimes there's a 2 or 3 month lag, in which case a vessel that may be become dangerous or hazardous in the since the previous inspection would continue in operation and receive a new permit to operate even though it hasn't received a safety inspection.
Yes, Chairman. Representative Skinner. Does that mean, in reference to your previous statement about garages and shops, that their air compressor, which maybe has 60 pounds of air in it, has to have a permit?
That's right. The boiler and pressure vessel section also performs other types of inspections. One is a shop inspection in which they go through a lot of the shops that are building boilers and pressure vessels. However, I might add at this point, no boilers are being constructed, or at least were being constructed when we prepared this report in November of 81. Most of the shops in our state that are involved in this are only constructing the pressure vessels, heat exchangers, that sort of thing. They go through and they make sure that the vessel is being constructed according to code, that the welds meet the ASME certification process, just to make sure that the vessel is being constructed safely. The other type of inspections performed are termed special inspections, which are done only when an owner wishes to use a vessel that may be of special construction standards or design and is not governed by the ASME code. It gives you basically a rundown of the types of activities that are conducted under the safety code provisions of this law. Regarding the licensing requirements of the practitioners, again, the law requires that all persons engaged in the business of installing, repairing, or altering boilers obtain a license. Those words are key because it does not pertain to the construction of boilers or pressure vessels. Only those businesses that install, repair, or alter boilers are subject to having a license. This license is merely a business license because there are no other requirements other than the payment of a $100 fee. However, the employees of such businesses, those who are engaged in the actual alteration, installation, or repair of vessels must be licensed by the boiler and pressure vessel section. Administrative rules have set up two categories of licensees, boiler makers and steam fitters. Each of these individuals must meet experience requirements, basically an apprenticeship or 4 years, which is usually obtained through the Navy or elsewhere, and they must pass a written examination. When we conducted our review, we found that the examination was not much value. It was consisted of, I think, 50 questions. It was answered quite easily by most participants. If they failed, they were able to take the exam immediately, retake the exam immediately. And we were told by, I think, the Boilermakers Union that if a person repeatedly failed the exam, that the answers would be given to them, implying that they had a copy of the exam, which turned out to be the fact. And when the boiler and pressure vessel section learned of that, they suspended the exams and have since rewritten those. However, again, the persons employed by firms who construct boilers and pressure vessels are not regulated by the state at all, only those who do the alteration, repair, or installation as far as individual licenses. Shop inspections, however, are conducted in those businesses, and individuals who are performing the construction must meet the welding standards of the ASME code. As far as the board itself, the Board of Boiler Rules is a group of eight individuals, mostly engineers and some businessmen. On page 41, you have a list of the different types of people who are required to be on the board. It is quite specific as to the membership. The board oversees both the licensing regulation and the safety code as far as the construction of vessels and their inspection. We found that the board's role was highly technical, again, mostly engineers, and it's well suited to that function as far as formulating rules pertaining to the construction and operation of the vessels. However, it was ill-suited, in our opinion, to the regulation of the trades of boilermaker and steam fitter, and that only one member of those occupations was a member of the board. So they were here, basically had engineers and businessmen regulating a profession of which they knew very little, although they knew the technical aspects of their occupation. In terms of disciplinary action, the board could take three types. Again, it gets into the inspection process and instructs any owner of a vessel that has a defect that they must repair that vessel within a certain amount of time. If they do not, they can use a restraining order to assure that that vessel is come back to meet ASME code standards. They can take disciplinary action against inspectors. They may revoke a license for incompetency or untrustworthiness or the willful falsification of a report. In the 12 years the board has had that authority, they only used that power once. I only had one case before it, and they failed to act against that individual because they felt that the person acted negligently, not willfully. And finally, the board may take action against licensees to suspend a license. These are only the boilermakers and steam fitters. The board has no power to take any action against the business. The statutes do not provide for any disciplinary action against any business that may be conducting improper business as far as the installation of these vessels. The last part of our report is the conclusions, where we propose some alternatives for your consideration. As I mentioned, some of these are contained in the House Bill 2089, some are not, so I thought I'd just review them just briefly for you. First of all, regarding the inspection process, the state you could choose to have no regulation at all. In other words, allow these statutes to expire. In that case, the ASME boiler code and the inspection requirements would be removed from state law, and most businesses, if not all, would continue that have insurance would probably continue their present coverage. There would be neither state guidelines, however, for inspections or oversight of these inspectors, so there would be a lack of uniformity. Local governments could then adopt the ASME code on their own, as is done in several states that do not have this statewide, but again, a lack of uniformity would exist. Another alternative might be to require mandatory insurance by all owners of a boiler or pressure vessel. In this case, there would be no need for state inspectors because the insurance companies would be doing all of the inspections. Proponents argue that such a system, which would rely entirely on the private sector, is a viable alternative. These insurance company inspectors are quite competent. The chief boiler inspector told us that they rarely have to do a re-inspection of any one done by a special inspector. However, opponents counter that there'd be, again, a lack of uniformity in the inspection process and no assurance of quality. Regarding the licensing of boilermakers and steam fitters, again, you could choose not to have any regulation at all, and that is allow the statutes that regulate the businesses that sell, install, or repair boilers and pressure vessels and their employees to expire. Enforcement of the ASME Boiler Code and National Board Inspection Code would still continue because that section of law would be retained. Certification of welders, which is required by the ASME Boiler Code, would continue, and the welding procedures would ensure that employees of these firms would be qualified to conduct their operations. Any person wishing to repair, alter, or install a boiler would still be required to get a permit from the section, so you'd be able to have a handle on what was going on in that regard. You could choose to increase regulation. In other words, require a practical examination of boilermakers and steam fitters, which is not required right now. Have these persons demonstrate their skills. However, such a requirement may duplicate in part of the ASME Boiler Code requirement that welders and welding operators be certified. Entry requirements into the profession would also be made more stringent by an addition of that requirement. You could also choose to license boiler operators. Some states do this now. Our administrative rules require that the boilers be attended by persons familiar with the vessel and emergency procedures, and that they be fitted with certain safety devices, but the persons operating boilers are not at this time regulated. The Assembly has considered proposals to do this in the past. You may choose to make certain revisions in the current system. For example, you may choose to decrease the number of vessels inspected by increasing the minimum size of pressure vessels subject to the law from the present 1.5 cubic feet to 5, which would be consistent with the ASME code in most of the other states. You might also require inspections before renewing operating permits. This used to be our law, again, was taken out about 20 years ago, and many states do this. For example, Washington requires, or at least at that time required, that operating permits only be issued after an inspection. You could choose to clarify the role of the board. When we did our sunset review, we found that the board had little knowledge of the licensing function. Again, most were professional engineers who were involved in the construction of these vessels and had little knowledge of the ins and outs of regulating boilermakers and steam fitters. We found that board particularly well suited for formulating rules regarding the operation of the boiler safety code, but ill suited again for regulating the occupation, which were of the boilermakers and steam fitters. Along with that, you need, excuse me.
Excuse me, Ken. Representative Scum.
Did you consider that we might need two boards?
That's a possibility. I was just going to mention that you may, first of all, increase the size of this board by adding them.